So, I don't know, I looked at the pictures, like how you're supposed to jump, and you're supposed to jump with your legs like straight forward, and you just land, yeah, like I said, you just land on your bum. So I just gave them all my stuff, and then I jumped, and as soon as I landed, I was like, nope, nope, this is not right. So I just laid there, and then they asked me like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. Like, okay, what's wrong? Like, what hurts? I'm like, it's my back hurts.
In this episode, we're going to talk about what it's like to break your back while jumping on a human water catapult. We're also going to talk about blood transfusions, Greek comedy MRI sessions, pain, fainting surgery, oh, and a $12,500 bill. Last season, we ended with a broken back. This season, we'll start with a broken back. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
You're listening to the Travel Horror Stories Podcast, a show that listens to real stories from travel bloggers and travelers just like you. Then we unpack those stories to discuss safety tricks, prevention treats, horror hacks, and follow-up tactics. The goal is to turn travel nightmares into dreams of beaches, sunshine, and margaritas.
And as always, you can head over to TravelHorrorStoriesPodcast.com for this and all the previous episodes, their show notes, and links to all the other places you enjoy listening to podcasts. If you're listening via Apple Podcasts, don't forget to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment, because that will help more people find the show.
And now, live from the Brotherless Travel Studio in downtown Toronto, Canada, here's your host. Can you hear that? Christopher,
yes.
Brother.
Awesome. That sounds
cool.
Did
you hear the drums or not?
Yeah, I did hear the drums. That's wicked. Awesome. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Welcome back to the next block of the Travel Horror Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Rutter, and it's great to be back after a fabulous summer break. I spent a lot of time exploring my home province of Ontario and working on my new blog, Road Trip Ontario. If you're from Toronto or in the Ontario area, whether you live here or you're visiting, which I'm not sure if you should be because we're still kind of under the COVID thing, but in any event, if you're looking for some epic road trips, check it out at roadtripontario.ca. It's September, summer is done, but we still have some gorgeous summer weather lingering around for the next few days. So get out there and enjoy it, because here in Canada, that can change in a heartbeat. Much like the story we're about to get into, I have to admit, I thought it was going to be a straightforward story. You know, you jump off something, you bruise your back, you go into the hospital, you have insurance, everything's covered, and then you leave. But I wasn't expecting all these turns. So, you know, without further ado, let's just jump right into this one. Live with us today in the Rudderless Travel Studio here is Laura from the blog Both Feet on the Road. Laura, tell us about yourself and tell us about your blog.
So my name is Laura. I'm 26 years old. I'm from the Netherlands. And I actually started my blog not even a year ago, because I love reading travel blogs, but for some reason, if I look at their pictures and I look at my pictures, they never seem to match. I'm a terrible photographer. I'm just not into it. So I just wanted a blog that kind of reflected the way I see the world. Like, it's still beautiful, but not as beautiful as those pictures seem. So I just wanted one that was more like down to earth, more realistic. So I guess that's why I came to Both Feet on the Road. So just one that's very down to earth, very basic, and just, I don't know, just tells you about the great things you can do, but not as if everything is a must do or every place is a must visit. Down to earth is the key word.
That's fantastic. And to be honest with you, as you know, the whole reason why I started this podcast is because nothing is perfect when you're traveling. So, you know, at the end of the day, as long as you're providing value, pictures and video and all that kind of stuff, it's just an added bonus to everything. But really, people just need the information. So as long as your information is on point, you know what? It's all good. I've seen your blog. I love the picture right at the beginning.
Maybe by someone else, though. It's me in it, but someone else took it.
Touché. But yeah. All right. So do you want to play a game?
Oh, yes, I want to play a game.
I like how you answer that. It's so deviously. It's like, oh, yes. Yes, I want to play a game. Yes, let's do this. I got something for you. Okay. All right, so we're going to play 3 stories, 2 truths, 1 lie. You're going to give me 3 stories. 2 of them are going to be true. 1 of them is going to be a lie. And I'm going to try to guess which one is the lie. So whenever you're ready.
Yeah. We should not look at the camera because my face is like a book. I'm a terrible liar. So hopefully,
Why do people keep doing that? I had another guest that just said straight up that I don't have a good poker face. Just like, really? All right, well, I'm just going to pay extra attention to how you're okay, telling
us. I'll just put my phone on the camera, so.
All right, I'll look away. Look away. Just listen. Don't look at me. All right. All right. And for the listeners who are listening, just so you know, we can see each other. That's the reason why we're making these jokes. You guys can't see us because you're listening to audio, but that's what's happening. So anyways, all right, carry on.
All right. So I took 3 stories of things that I did or that happened. Let's start with the first one. The first one is... about the time I shared a rather intimate story with one of my friends while we were on a bus ride in Uganda. And I thought we were the only Dutch people in there. So I was just discussing all the details in Dutch, not too loud, but I was discussing it. And only to find out after we got out of the bus that there were 2 Belgian guys in our bus as well. And they were from the Flemish part. So they spoke Dutch too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was interesting. That's one. And then the other 2 are shorter. So the other one is about the time when I was on a bus ride from Puerto Escondido to Oaxaca in Mexico. I don't know if you've been there. It's quite a windy road, a very windy road. So I ended up throwing up in one of those linen bags I had with me. Not with my stuff in there anymore, but yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. That was a bad one too. And then the last one is this happened in the US. I was studying abroad in the US for a while, and we went to a movie theater, and it was a movie with a little bit of blood, and I usually faint when I see my own blood, but never when I faint blood from a movie. But this time I fainted, and I tried to make it to the bathroom because I didn't want to faint in the movie theater, so I just fainted. Like at the where you can buy all the snacks and stuff. So a guy working there was cleaning a window, I think, or something. I tried to make it to the bathroom, and then he saw me faint. Ooh, yeah, full on the floor there.
Oh no! Wow. Yeah. Okay. I mean, they're all reasonable. They're all plausible. I don't know. The Dutch story, I mean, that sort of makes sense. I mean, I've been to Brussels, so I know that that's divided into 3, like French, Dutch, and English. And so I know that that's completely plausible. So I don't know. I'm just going to go with that as a truth. I've been on rides with buses that are kind of like where you can see a mountain on one side and like a deep cavern on the other. So I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and say that that's possible that you can get sick. So I'm just going to go with the fainting story and the blood story in the movie theater as the lie.
Well, actually, that one is true as well. So which one do you think is?
Okay, then I'll go with the Dutch story then as the lie.
No, that one is also true.
Oh, man.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well played. You got me good. All right. And I should have been paying attention to your facial expressions, but I wasn't.
I guess. Yeah.
See, so you're not that bad of a poker player. All right. So tell us about the Dutch story then. So I mean, like, so you're discussing intimate details with your friend, and they can overhear. So what did they say after? Like, how did you realize that they spoke the language?
Like at the back of the bus, so like not all the way in at the front of the bus. So I'm not sure if they heard everything. I didn't ask what they heard because I just thought maybe if I don't if I don't pay attention to it, then we can pretend like it didn't happen.
That sounds like very toddler like. If I close my eyes and open them, maybe you might disappear. But how did you know that they spoke your language, though? Like, how do you know that they understood?
So we met, like, when we got out of the bus, like, everyone started talking with each other. And then they said that they were from Belgium. And oh, then I was like, which part?
Oh, no. All right. Yeah. That's funny. Okay. And so then the fainting story is actually true. Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So you actually, when you see blood, you actually faint like that?
Well, it depends. Like if I see my own blood and I didn't eat a lot, then usually I can already feel my head, like my head will go spinning. But I usually don't have it when I see blood on television. But I think that day, I know I also hadn't eaten a lot. And then the movie, oh, it was the worst movie ever. And it's so fake. It didn't make any sense. But for some reason, I just couldn't take it that day.
Oh my gosh. So then, so what happened after you fainted? Like, what did they do?
I left my friends because I didn't want to tell them I was feeling bad. So I just went out by myself and just this guy, like, cleaning the windows or the mirrors. I don't know what he was cleaning. Like, he just came up to me. Like, oh my God, are you okay? And then, well, obviously I came back and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. He was like, oh, here, you have some water. Like,
oh my gosh.
And I was so embarrassed. I was like, no, I'm fine. And he looked so worried. I was like, no, I'm really fine. So then I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I was like a ghost, like so white. Like,
oh my God. No.
Yeah, he was shocked.
Oh no.
Poor man, doing his job.
Oh, poor guy. Wow.
Yeah.
All right then. Well done. You stomped me.
I did my best.
So let's get into your story. So what inspires you to go to Guatemala in the first place?
So I went to Mexico first, and I just went, I wanted to see like the whole Central America. And I went there to study Spanish and to learn how to surf. And of course, just to see a lot of places there. So in Guatemala, I had taken another 3 weeks, I think, or 2 weeks of Spanish lessons close by where it happened. And I just went to, have you ever been to Guatemala or not?
No, I haven't. I've been to, not even really Mexico. I've been to, I can't remember the name of the place, but I've been to a city, Cozumel. I've been to Cozumel.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Cozumel, Mexico. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
This is pre-travel blogging days. So this is before I even had a travel blog. I was there on some cruise, like a boat cruise.
Oh, okay.
And so we ported there for like a day or so. But yeah, no, I haven't been to Mexico. So I'm on my to-go list, though, for sure.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's amazing. So in Guatemala, you have Lake Atitlan, and it's like a beautiful lake with some volcanoes around it and a lot of small villages. And it's like, it's one of the most popular stops there. So I went there after those 2 weeks of Spanish lessons. And I was actually thinking of going back to where I had my Spanish classes. And then, I was taken by a free ambulance there.
So explain what happened. Because when I was reading it, I was kind of like, okay, she broke her back. Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's good. I mean, not good in a way that...
That's great.
I'm like
way to go.
That's good for the podcast, but I mean, not good for you, obviously. But okay, so how did that whole thing happen? Like, so yeah, so get into that.
So, it always sounds worse. Like, I think the story sounds worse than how I experienced it, though. It's like the classic thing that your mom thinks is going to happen when you're traveling alone. So at that lake, they had one of those big, what do you call them? Like the bouncy things.
Like a trampoline kind of trampoline kind of thing.
So it's a big one and it's in the water. So one person jumps on one end and then somebody lies on the other end. And then as you jump, you lunge the other person in the water.
It's,
Oh, it's like that. Oh, right. So it's like that air thing. It's like full of air. Yeah, yeah. So then a bunch of people jump on one and it launches you up in the, like, really high in the sky. And then you land. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I've seen those before. Okay. That helps. Now yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know the thing in English, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The bouncy thing.
Yeah. No. I don't actually even know what the name of that would be either. It's kind of like, it's almost like a jumpy castle in a way. Yeah. Like, but I mean, a big one for adults. But there's air in it, and you could basically, if you jump on one end of it, it pushes whoever's standing on the other side off. And they go really high, actually.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this one was at the hostel I was staying at. They had one of those things, and every night I was staying there, I was like, oh, I really have to do it. But I was also kind of scared, like, oh, yeah, I don't know. And then on the last morning that we were there, I just met two guys the day before, and we were planning on going to the next village all together. So we'd all packed our bags, and I was like, no, guys, we have to do this before we go to the next village. Like, I cannot leave here without having done this. They're like, okay, let's do it. So I was really nervous, and everyone is nervous about, like, the second part where somebody else jumps and you get launched in the air and you fall in the water. And I was like, no, that's the fun part. Like, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the first jump. Like, how do I jump? Like, how do I not break anything? And then everyone's like, no, that's easy. Like, you just jump and you fall on your, like, you fall on your bum and it's fine. So I don't know. I looked at the pictures, like, how you're supposed to jump, and you're supposed to jump with your legs, like, straight forward, and you just land, like I said, you just land on your bum. So I did that exactly, and I was the first person to jump, because I told them, like, I want to be the first one, because otherwise I'm not going to go anymore. It's like, okay, I'm ready. So I just gave them all my stuff, and then I jumped, and as soon as I landed, I was like, nope, this is not right. So I just laid there, and then they asked me, like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. It's like, okay, what's wrong? Like, what hurts? I'm like, it's my back hurts. And luckily there was like a British couple, and they both studied medicine as well. I think they were, like, somewhere later on, like, almost finished. So, like, okay, don't move, like, can you still feel your toes, and can you still do this? I was like, yeah, I still feel my toes, like, I don't think it's that bad, but I, like, there's something wrong with my back. So, like, okay, stay there, we're gonna get a doctor. But I was still lying on that bouncy thing, which is very uncomfortable, and it's hot, and obviously if your back is hurting, like, you want to lay down somewhere where it's stable, not something that bounces and that goes up and down. And I was still on the bouncy thing was underwater, so they still had to get me off there. So I was just lying there, and they called a doctor, and pretty much the whole village had heard about it, seen it. So everyone was just standing up there, like, looking at me, like, oh my god, what's happening?
Okay, so one second. So you didn't even get to the part where you get launched into the air.
No, I didn't get to the fun part.
So okay. So just before we go a little bit further, so describe this jumping thing. So where are you jumping from? And, like, how is this working? Like, are you jumping from a cliff? Like, how is this set up? Like, so you're jumping from a higher part, I guess, like a cliff. So part of the fun is actually jumping off that cliff, because I would imagine it's high.
Yeah, right? It's like, I think, so when you, so this bouncy thing was lying in the lake, like in the water, and that was right next to the restaurant of the hotel or of the hostel I was staying at. So you just jump from the restaurant straight onto that bouncy thing. And that's, like, I think the drop you have is, like, maybe 3 or 4 meters.
So it's not, I mean, 3 or 4 meters is not too high.
No.
So, but I'm just a little bit confused. Like, is it, like, is there, like, a, like, you know how when you go swimming, like, there's, like, a diving board? Like, is it something like that, where you're kind of jumping off onto that? Or is there, like, restaurant, like, over the river, like, over the water? Like, how is that?
So the restaurant is, like, a little bit higher, and then here's the lake, and they just had, like, a small platform, and from there you just jumped straight onto the bouncy thing. Yeah,
so the restaurant is actually part of the restaurant's hanging over the lake then.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So you're not too high. I mean, 3 meters,
I think it's, yeah, I mean, like, three it, or four or something. Yeah,
so 3 or 4 meters, I mean, it's still high enough. I mean, like, you know, like, it's high enough to obviously still hurt yourself. But okay, so what was it about? And usually when you're jumping, are you not jumping with other people when you do that?
So I think because if you jump with like two people, it just means that the other person will be launched higher into the sky. But I was the first one, so I was supposed to crawl like to the front part, and then one of the guys was supposed to jump and launch me in the air.
Okay. So we'll come back to this in a second, because obviously it's something about the way that you landed. So, let's continue then. I want to be a little bit more clear about where you're jumping from. Like, you're just jumping and then all like, what's happening? Where are you jumping from? Like, so.
You see the picture. Yeah.
I know. But yeah, we have to kind of describe it because the audience is like, what the hell's happening? There's no picture. So, okay. So yeah, no, I think we got it now. So that's good. Okay. So carry on. So everyone has gathered around, the entire village has come.
The whole around. Is filled with people watching.
Everyone's like, oh my gosh, what happened to her? So everyone's looking. Okay. So what happened? So carry on then. So you're on there. It's hot. And you can't move because it hurts.
Yeah.
No, sorry. And what's hurting? Like, is it your lower back? Like, is that what's where it's killing? Or is it like your entire back? Is it?
No, it's like more my lower back that hurt. And it wasn't like, I could feel like this is not okay, but it wasn't as if like, oh my God, like I'm dying from this pain. It's like, like I could feel like it's not okay. I should move. And especially because as soon as you have like something around your back, like if you move and something is broken or like something hits your spinal cord, like obviously, you could get paralyzed. So that's why I knew like, okay, I shouldn't move at all. Nothing.
Don't move
me. Yeah. And that's why I said like, okay, I don't think this is all right. Even though like the pain was bad, but it wasn't terrible. That's why. That's why I also didn't think I broke my back when I was lying there. I just thought like, oh, I don't know, maybe bruised something or I don't know, I just thought it was something small. But while I was laying there, like they still needed to get me off, but it was lying in the water, so they came with like these small canoes, and then there were like different people on canoes and on a boat, and then they came with like a wooden thing where they had to try and get me on and then carry me off it. But it's still on a bouncy thing, so everything is like wobbly. It's on the water, so everything is like wobbly like that. And they had to do it with boats because the water was too deep, so no one could stand next to me to like help me get off there. And I don't know, I don't even remember how they managed to get me off, because I was just lying there and they were discussing how to do it, which obviously was right, but at some point it just hurt too much. And the way I was lying, like on my side, like I knew I wasn't lying in the right position. So I was like, okay, I really don't care what you do now, but you need to do something now. I can't take it anymore.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So then they managed to get the wooden thing on the bouncy bag. And then they managed to like turn me on it. So I was on my side on this wooden thing. And then they carried me off it, carried me on a boat. And then from that boat, they carried me finally like how do you call it? Like back to the restaurant where I get, well, no, not yet. Cause I was just lying there. And then, the village doctor, he came, and he was like, well, we need to call an ambulance, and we need to send you somewhere so we can take your pictures. And then he told me like, I can send you to like a small hospital that's close by, but if something is wrong, they cannot do anything for you. So I'm just going to send you to the bigger one. So to that city I'd been before. So I was like, oh, nice. So I can see my friends again.
Yeah. Sure. With a possible broken back, but okay. In the hospital, but sure, yeah.
So he called an ambulance, and then they came with like this, so they put this thing on my neck as well to stabilize my neck. So everything looked like, just looked really intense, as if like something really bad was going on there. And then I couldn't move anymore. And those two guys, I had met them the day before, and they were like, oh no, we're coming with you, because my Spanish wasn't that good, and especially when I'm like, when I'm in pain and I don't know what's happening, like my Spanish doesn't improve my Spanish. They're like, no, we're with you, and like we'll get your bag, we'll get everything. So they came with me in the ambulance, which was like a 3-hour ride as well, on windy roads as well. And then one of them was sitting next to me, like in the back of the ambulance, but they had no windows, whatever. And they'd given me some morphine. So like, I was kind of okay. Like,
Oh my gosh.
A little bit wobbly.
Wow.
And he was like, oh my God, I'm starting to get sick. Like, I cannot handle it anymore. So then we had to stop the car like one or two times because they had to throw up.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a patient here. What's going on?
Wow.
Yeah. It's weird, but I really laughed a lot that day. Like, I know it sounds weird. And if I look back at it, like, of course it's terrible, but I don't know. It's also really a funny story, actually. But yeah, don't ask my parents because they will not agree with the fun part.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I'm kind of like, what's funny? I don't understand. like you might have a possible spinal injury, but, you know, sure,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess because I also didn't think it was that serious. I just thought, like, oh, I need to get it checked, but I didn't think it was that serious. So yeah, I think that's why I was like, oh, I'll just get some, like, they're just going to take some pictures and then we'll see everything is okay. And then they'll tell me I need to, you know, take it calm for a week and then I'll be fine. But yeah, that didn't turn out to be true.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you are in, so you get to the main hospital now.
Yeah.
And so what happens there now? My gosh.
So I wanted to check with my health insurance, like, okay, hey, am I, you know, how does it work, am I covered for everything? So I wanted to like talk to my parents first, and I wanted them to ask my health insurance, right. But I didn't have any data on my phone, and the hospital didn't have any Wi-Fi. So then one of the doctors, like, they made like a Wi-Fi hotspot for me, and then I could call my parents.
Oh, and my gosh,
like, If you listen back to the, because I think eventually I sent a voice memo to my mom because I couldn't type, I think, because I still had the what do you call it, like, in your arm, chief, like
the IV.
Yeah. So then it hurts if you bend it. So I couldn't really type with one hand. So I just did the voice memos. And if you listen back to it, I'm like, hey, mom, something wrong happened today. Like, just very, yeah. I still thought, like, it's not that bad. So I was like, yeah, can you call the health insurance and see if I'm covered for everything and if I can just get all the scans I need? And I think, I don't know what time it was, but it was like pretty late in the Netherlands. So yeah, my parents didn't get any sleep that night. Yeah, they weren't happy.
Hey, mom, you know, something bad's happened. You know, I jumped off something and possibly broke my back. But don't worry about it. I just wanted to know if the insurance is going to cover all the x-rays that I need to take and possibly the morphine that I'm on. Yeah. And probably the possible surgery and metal plates that I'm going to have to install into my spinal column. But don't worry about it. I'm okay.
So obviously they did worry.
Of course. Wow. All right. So what was we'll get into insurance talk in a second because that's a common place to go on this show. what was the damage that was done to you?
Finally, I had the MRI scan, and then...
Oh, yeah, okay. Let's go through all the things that they did to you, though. So, yeah, so after you called your mom... Sorry, okay. After you called your mom and you told them, and now they can't sleep now. Okay, so what happened after that? What were all the... So, after that point, you talked to insurance, I guess, or, like, what was that process like?
My parents helped insurance for me, and they just said, like, oh, yeah, like, just do everything you need to do. It's fine. And then, so they had to get me into an MRI scan, but they didn't tell me which scan they were going to do. Right. And then I didn't know that an MRI scan made that much noise. So they tried to put in earplugs in my ear, but if you do at somebody else's ear, like, it's not going to stick. So those earplugs didn't stick in my ear. And then when they tried to get me into the MRI scan, they first had to lift me off from the ambulance bed onto the right bed. And then they didn't have enough people to help them. So the two guys that came with me, they were like, okay, yeah, you guys carry here. And then on three, you'll carry her onto the next bed. It's like, oh yeah, sure. They don't have any medical something. They're just going to carry me with my broken peg.
You're going to be a doctor for today.
Yeah, really. So then they finally managed to get me on there. And they tried to get me into the MRI, but this bed, like, it goes up, like, and then you're supposed to go into the MRI scan. So when I did that, like, the bed goes up, and then every time they tried to get me into the MRI, it stopped, like, it blocked. So then, like, I would bounce, like, back and forth again, and I was like, oh, it's not working. So then they tried something else, and then again, the bed goes up, and then, boom, I bounce back again, and this happened, like, 4 times. Like, okay, we need to get you off this bed again because we need to fix our MRI scan.
Oh my gosh.
So there's two guys that carry me again, like with the other nurses there. So people were trying to fix the MRI scan, and then I don't know, I think it still didn't work, but then finally they put me on the bed again and they tried again, and of course it bounced back again, so I didn't get into the MRI scan. So they're like, okay, we need to call someone else. So somebody else came. And he saw me laying on the MRI bed, and he was like, oh, yeah, can you stand up? Because I need to fix it. Those two guys and me were looking at him like, can I stand up? I'm like, I'm lying here because I'm not supposed to move. It's like, oh, okay. So then they had to carry me off the bed again. So it took like an hour, I think, before I even got into the MRI scan. And then I didn't know that it made that much noise. So I was like lying in there. I was like, what is happening? This thing is broken. Like, this is not okay. It's like, okay, calm down. So like, I just tried to keep breathing. But I was so glad when I finally got out that MRI scan. Like, oh my God, I'm not sure if this thing actually worked. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't mean to laugh. I don't mean to laugh at this, but...
It feels like a
tragic comedy or something. Like, I feel like it's like some Greek tragic comedy or something. Like, it's just like yeah. I feel like it's like a cartoon. Like you know when they're carrying the patient, but they turn it around and they keep bumping the patient's head into things. Like, I feel like a cartoon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, what the hell?
That's how it went.
Okay. All right. Okay. So they get the MRI scan finally done, I guess, the next day. Because it's been taking forever. All right. So what happens after that? Did they do any other testing or anything else? Or?
I'm trying to think. I think no. I think they just sent results to like the main doctor of the hospital. So I just had to wait until she came back with the results and like told me what was going to happen. And by the time...
Was the main doctor one of your other friends or... No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on. I'm just joking. Yeah. No, carry on. All right. So they brought the real doctor, not the one that they play on TV. Just the real doctor. The real doctor from the hospital. Okay, yeah. So he comes in. All right.
Yeah. So by that time, two of my friends that I had already met like from that city, they already came. And they were both Dutch as well. And where I was lying, I didn't have any Wi-Fi, so I couldn't like stay in touch with my parents. So every time before, like the boys had to go upstairs with my phone and like text my parents, okay, this is happening, this is happening. But like my parents don't speak English that well, so it's kind of hard to communicate. So when the two Dutch girls came, they're like, oh yeah, good, now you can communicate in Dutch with them. So like they went upstairs and then told my parents what was happening, and then they came downstairs if we knew like anything else. And then I think then finally the doctor called because she wasn't there, but like she called, I was like, okay, we've looked at your results and your back is broken and you need surgery. And like, I think that's the moment where I was like, oh, this is not what I expected. And I think that's the first time when I actually cried because I was like, oh no, I did not think I had.
Oh my gosh.
My back. Yeah. So, and because she like, she said, okay, you broke your back. And then she continued with the surgery. And like, I wasn't really listening anymore. I was like, what? And I think by that time, I was like, no, I want doctors in the Netherlands to have a look at, like, I just didn't trust it. I was like, no, I'm not. Cause she was like, okay, when was the last time you ate? And I was like, oh, that's this morning. She's like, oh, okay, so you can do the surgery like this evening. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do the surgery this evening. Like, I want other people to have a look at this as well. Like, I'm not going to do the surgery straight away. So I think that's when they just decided, okay, we're just going to keep you here then. And then they sent me the pictures so I could send the pictures to doctors in the Netherlands and see if they had anything else to say about it. And they could inform me about the risks of taking a surgery there, or if I could take the surgery back in the Netherlands. So this was, I think it happened in the morning, like at 10 in the morning. This was like at 5 in the afternoon when we finally knew like what had happened. And then the ambulance that had taken us, the ambulance needed to go back to where we came from. So they said to the two boys, like, hey, you can come with us, because their stuff was still there. So they were leaving, and then the ambulance was like, no, but you have to pay for the ambulance now in cash. And that was like 500 euros. Like, I'm a cheap backpacker. I don't travel with 500 euros like in cash. Plus, my debit card never worked in Guatemala, so I could never withdraw money myself. I always had to ask other people to withdraw money, and then I would transfer to their bank accounts. It was like, I don't have 500 euros. Like, it was Quetzal, but like, I don't have 500 euros cash. And I cannot go to an ATM because it doesn't work. Plus, you can only get like 200 euros each time you go to an ATM in Guatemala. It's like, I don't have 500. Like, I cannot pay. They're like, oh, well, we're not moving, blah, blah. So then the two guys that were with me, and they were like, no, we'll just go back together. We have 500 euros and then just transfer to us later. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, write down your bank accounts immediately. They're like, no, no worries. Like, just take it easy and like see what you're going to do with your bag and worry about the money later. Like, really, it's no big deal. I was like, yes, it's a big deal. You're paying 500 euros for me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, wow. That was, yeah. I was really lucky for all the people that were with me that day, because can you imagine like being all by yourself, like no one staying with you, no one coming with you? Yeah, that would have changed the whole experience to like an worse horror story. Yeah.
No, it's, you know, it's, this is a, this is an incredible story. I'm not even going to lie. It's fantastic. I mean, yeah, it has a bit of everything. Like, it was funny in the beginning, but all of a sudden it's like, yeah, hey, you broke your back. Oh, no one's laughing anymore. No. It's just like, yeah. But no, this is, wow. I'm completely, like, I don't even know what to say. Okay. So, how did you walk out of this situation? How did you insert back joke here. No. Yeah. How did you, so what ended up happening? So you sent, cause we'll talk about after this, we're going to talk about like what you could have done and what you learned from this experience and all that stuff after. Because it's really important that we get that part out of it. So what ended up happening? So you ended up showing your x-ray results to a doctor in Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what happened? Like, did the doctors in Netherlands say, okay, get the surgery there, or like what happened at that point?
Yeah, so I sent it to two doctors, like two different ones, and then one of them told me like, okay, you don't necessarily need the surgery there, but if they have like a typical corset, how do you call it, like to stabilize everything?
Yeah, like I want to say where. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, are you talking about one of those, like, someone's gonna lace you up from behind? Like, so it's like, I think it's called a corset.
Yeah,
I think that's the word. Yeah, so they would lace you up from behind, so it's like, yeah, okay.
So you've got medical ones as well, like typical ones for like things like this, and they're like, okay, if they've got one of those, you can wear one of those and then come to the Netherlands and then either have the surgery here or like fix it in it, like see what they do about it in the Netherlands. And then the other one said like, what did they say? I think they also said like in the Netherlands, we wouldn't do the surgery in the Netherlands. Like if this would have happened at home, they would have given me like a special type of corset and then just take it slow for a long time and then it will heal itself. But they're like, you're not in the Netherlands. And like, they didn't say like you have to take the surgery there, but they also said like it's a risk if you come to the Netherlands and get the surgery in the Netherlands. So like they didn't give me like an exclusive advice like you have to do this, but they all agreed that I could only come to the Netherlands with one of those corset if they had one. So then they didn't have one. So then I just decided to get the surgery there. I think. So this happened on a Wednesday. I think I had the surgery like on a Thursday or Friday. Like I was in the hospital for 2 days just waiting and like texting with everyone and like receiving emails from my doctor saying what I should do. So yeah, that was a full day of like doing nothing, just waiting and like hoping what was going to happen. So then I finally decided like, okay, I'm going to get the surgery. And they had explained me that Wednesday, like, oh, okay, you'll get a surgery and this is what we'll do. We'll put in like the like metal pins to stabilize it and very quickly. But that was on Wednesday, and that was when I was still thinking, oh, no, I don't believe this. I don't have a broken back. I'm not going to get the surgery. So I didn't really listen. So then on Friday, they were like, okay, yeah, you're going to get surgery at this time. Or on Thursday, I don't remember. Like, you're going to get the surgery. Okay. It's like, well, can someone explain to me again, like, what they're actually going to do? It's like, oh, yeah, we'll tell the... And they're like, oh, yeah, but they already told you, right? It's like, yeah, but I kind of want to know, like, what's going to happen. Like, okay, yeah, the doctor will come later. So then there was one female doctor, and she spoke English pretty well, but she wasn't there, and she wasn't going to do my surgery, so it was another guy. And he spoke a little bit of English, but not really. So he, like, eventually he never showed up, like, to give me the explanation. So they just picked me up and then brought me to, like, the surgery room. And I was lying there, and then they were preparing the anesthesia. And I was like, well, wait, I don't want it yet. Like, I want to know what's going to happen to me. And they're like, oh, okay. So they were just like laying it down there. And I was just super worried. And you're like in a surgery room, which is, I don't know, it kind of looks sketchy. And then I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I was like, oh my God, like, am I really going to trust these people, you know, like operating on my back? And then the doctor finally came, and he was like, like, you didn't have the anesthesia. I said, no, I want to know what you're going to do. And then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm just going to do, I don't know, like, cut it open, do this. It's a very easy procedure, you know. So I wasn't really, it didn't really calm my mind after I knew what was going to happen to me. But, yeah, I didn't really have a choice anyway. So they just gave me the anesthesia, and I was like, oh, I'm always, like, I was scared, like, oh, I hope it's working. But, yeah, I don't remember anything from the surgery, so at least it worked. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I have to say, I really wasn't expecting the story to turn in this direction. I really wasn't. I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting it to be bruised, and you were gonna kind of like have to maybe wear a corset and then leave. I was expecting there to be surgery at the ending of this story. I have to say. Okay. So now you had the surgery. So how long did you need to stay in the hospital after the surgery now? Oh my gosh.
So let's see. I think in total I stayed like 3 or 4 days at the hospital. So I think I had the surgery, and then after that I had to stay two more nights, and then the night after I was finally like allowed to leave. Because my parents also came to visit me and to help me with everything.
Oh, so your parents should end up coming down. Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, like, you're having surgery by yourself too in a foreign country. Oh my gosh, like, you're taking the cake now with Travel Horror Stories. So and now those other guys, like, they sort of left, right? Because they needed to leave. So now you're
my two friends that I already knew, they were with me, and like they visited me in the hospital every day, and like they stayed with me.
Okay.
With the surgery, like after the surgery, they were there with me, and they because I think my parents were about to leave, or like they were flying when I had my surgery. So they stepped in the plane, not even knowing if everything was going to be all right when they got here. Like, they're like, okay, we could get to Guatemala, and then like she's going to be paralyzed for the rest of her. Like, they had no idea how I was going to get out of it.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so my two Dutch friends, like, they stayed in touch with my parents. So they texted them like, oh, okay, she's going into surgery now, she's coming out. And apparently, remember that. I was in a lot of pain when I got out of the surgery, but like I don't remember that. Because they texted them like, oh yeah, she's in a lot of pain, blah blah. But there were people with me the whole time. I wasn't really alone except for that time when I was in the surgery room, not knowing what was going to happen. But all the other times there were people with me. And then my parents finally came, but my hospital was quite far from the airport. So they arrived like at 9 in the evening, so they couldn't come to me straight away. So they came the next day, but then they knew like, okay, everything is all right. And I think the day after my surgery, like they, they already took pictures to see if, like, an x-ray to see if everything was all right. So I had to get up and, like, walk to, I don't know, like, walk to a wheelchair, I think, and then they took me there. But, like, I already told you before, like, I faint when I see blood, but I just faint more easily than other people. So every time they tried to get me up, like, it would just hurt too much, and, like, I would just get dizzy. So even if I had to sit straight up, like, I would already faint. And then they had to get me to the x-ray place. Like, I kept fainting, like, fainting and fainting. It was terrible. And then at some point, I think my, like, my blood pressure was way too low. So they told me, like, oh, you need, like, a blood transfusion. I was like, no, I don't want a blood transfusion here. No, I don't want a blood transfusion in Guatemala. Like, yeah, you need it. Like, I tried to text with my mom, like, okay, what should I do? Blah, blah. And then, but I also wasn't very, you know, like, very clear in my mind. Like, so everything I texted to my mom, I'm not really sure if it all made sense. And my mom was like, well, if they tell you that you need the blood transfusion, then you have to get it. Because I kept fainting from everything. Like, I couldn't do anything. So then they gave me the blood transfusion. And after that, like, I was finally capable of, like, at least, like, sitting straight up and making it to the wheelchair that was right next to my bed without fainting. Yeah, but then they took the pictures and I had to stand up for the pictures as well. And I remember that, like, I was standing there and I was like, I'm going to faint again. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to faint again. So then they put me down on one of those beds there until I was ready to take the x-ray photos again. Yeah, like I don't really remember how painful it was, but I know that it was painful because I kept fainting. Like, I couldn't do anything.
Oh yeah. My gosh. But did they not give you anything to help with the pain, or?
I think they did, but yeah, I guess it didn't work enough.
Oh my gosh. What the hell?
Yeah.
I think I need to make this into a part two. Like, I don't know. Like now there's blood transfusions too. Like you have like five travel blogger stories, like, in one story here. Okay.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, we're already, like, 47 minutes into the episode, and you're still in the hospital. Like, we didn't even get out of the hospital yet. Like, oh, my gosh.
There's more things that happen. Like, it's such a
crazy thing. Oh, my gosh.
There's so many things that happened there.
No. Keep going. This is, wow. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is crazy. Okay. All right. So you finally got the test. You were finally able to stand up.
Yeah.
And so you finally got your test. Okay. So what's happening now? Like,
so the pictures were all fine. So, like, at least the surgery, like, that was all goodness. Fine. Yeah.
My gosh. No, you need to go back into surgery again. We made a mistake.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Walk us through the rest of that now. My gosh.
So my parents finally, like, they came to the hospital. They were just so happy to see me, and, like, everything was kind of okay. So as soon as my parents came there, like the hospital administration or something, like, they came to us and like, oh, your parents are here, now you can pay. Like, we talked to my insurance, and my insurance said, like, oh, yeah, we sent an email saying that we cover everything. Like, you don't have to pay for anything. We cover everything. Like, you just, so don't worry about that. And we're like, no, my insurance paid for it. And they're like, oh, no, but we don't know your insurance. So you have to pay for it, and then you get it. I'm like, well, no, that's not, well, we had a discussion, and we called with insurance again. They called them again. Well, it took a very long time, but then they just came with, like, the bill, which was written on, like, just a piece of paper that was, like, torn from another piece of paper. Like, I'm not joking. Like, and they just wrote down La Cuenta, so, like, the bill and then the price. And I don't remember how much it was in Quetzal, but, like, if you calculate it back to euros, it was, like, 12,000 euros. And, like, this is how we got, this 12, was the receipt, 12,000.
12,000?
Yes.
As in 12,000.
Yes. And if euros. You pay cash.
Cash.
Please. Yes.
Yeah, sure. One.
Yeah.
Un momento, por favor. Let me just see if I have that. 1 second. Wait, maybe. let me look at my wallet. Hold on 1 second. Because I always happen to have that kind of cash lying around. One second. Like, wow. Okay. That's crazy. Yeah. All right. So insurance covered it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. In the end, they did. Yeah.
They probably don't want you as a client anymore. But
Oh, gosh, no.
Wow. Okay, so you could finally leave the hospital. You settled your bill.
Well, right? Not quite, because we couldn't pay for it yet. And then they were like...
So now it's a prison.
Yeah, no, they told me, because I was supposed to leave. And then they're like, no, if you cannot pay, you have to stay one more night.
Like, oh, my gosh.
And then my dad was like, no, but we can only get like 200 euros from the ATM every night. She's going to stay here. Like, that's all we can get from the ATM. That doesn't make any sense. So then, yeah, I think my sister-in-law, like, she called in the Netherlands, like, with our health insurance. And then they said, like, okay, we'll send, like, an agent for that works for them, like, in Guatemala or at least in that region, and, like, to talk to the hospital and to say that, you know, we're trustworthy, like, we will pay. So when they did that, we were finally allowed to leave.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay, so yeah. let me go back to the price again. So you said 12,000, as in 12 with three zeros at the end, right? Yes. Not 1,200.
Nope.
12,000.
Yeah.
Not 1,200, 12,000. Like, what the f?
Yeah, that's very expensive.
That, oh my gosh, man. That's like a used car. That, I mean, not even a used car. That could be a car. That's crazy. Why does it cost so much?
Well, I think because they took me to like a private hospital, because they tend to be the better hospitals. So I think it just being a private hospital, it was super expensive. And like I had the MRI scan, I had like the phototech and the blood transfusion and the surgery. And I think I stayed in the hospital for like three or four nights. I don't remember. So I guess, but like, I think that would be the same price in the Netherlands. And you would think that Guatemala is a little bit cheaper than the Netherlands, but apparently not. Yeah.
My gosh. Actually, it's not even 12,000. It's 12,500. Because you owe money for an ambulance still. Okay. And even 500 euros for an ambulance is kind of like, what the hell?
Yeah. Right? Okay. It was a 3-hour ride though. So I guess, yeah.
I mean, no, fair enough. I mean, yeah, I mean, here in Canada, they, well, not every province does it differently, so I can't say. But here in Ontario, I think it's going to cost you $150 Canadian dollars or something like that to ride in the ambulance. Once you get to the hospital, that is covered with our insurance, like health. Like, we have good health care here. I mean, it's decent health care. But yeah, the ambulance you're probably going to have to pay for.
Yeah.
So that's pretty typical. But okay, so... So now you finally leave the hospital. So what happens? Do you go right back to the Netherlands?
No, because I couldn't sit up straight long enough yet. I was just, they needed to remove the stitches and stuff as well. So I was just taking it slow. So we went back, I was staying at a hostel at that time, and, the owner, like, she also visited me in the hospital a couple of times, and she had like private rooms. So she offered my parents like a private room with me in there as well, so like a room for the three of us. So we just went to that hostel where also the two girls were staying. My parents were staying there as well. I think they stayed for about a week. So that week, like, I was progressing slowly. Like, I could sit up for a little bit longer. I could walk for a little bit without too much pain. So I just stayed there, and I was like, I cannot sit on a plane for too long. Plus, they told me, like, oh, no, like, recovery will be fast. Like, that will be fine. So I was like, I'm just going to stay here for, like, 2 months at the same place. And after that, I'm just going to try and travel again, like, and travel slowly again. Because otherwise, I would have gone home with my parents and then just stay at my parents' house for 2 months while I couldn't do anything. So I was like, I'd rather stay here and then take more Spanish classes and just wait till it gets better. So that's what I did. Yeah.
And just out of curiosity, how long is the flight from Netherlands to Guatemala? That must be at least 8 hours or so, right?
Yeah. So my parents didn't have a direct flight, so they flew to Panama first and then back to Amsterdam. But I think altogether, it's like, yeah, it's at least 10 hours.
Okay.
Maybe even more. Yeah, I think it's even more. Yeah. It's at least 10 hours if you've got a direct flight. Like, right. I wasn't even able to sit like straight for an hour, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, it sort of makes sense that you would have to stay, because, I mean, there's no way you'd handle that flight. Okay, so So how long did it take for you to eventually sort of feel normal again?
Like in the beginning, progress was super fast. Like at first, I couldn't even sit up in general. Then I could sit up, then I could sit up for an hour. So at the beginning, I was like, oh, wow, like this is going great. Like I'll be back doing everything again, like very fast. So after those 2 months, I was kind of okay. And like I started traveling around like very slowly. And if I would go to a museum, then after that museum, I would go back to the hostel and lay on my bed for another hour, like really travel slow, like not the way I used to, but I could, like, I still do a lot of stuff. But now it's been over a year and I'm still not able to run like 5 kilometers after a while. And like, if I've been working all day, I need to lay down first before I can do something else. So it's still, yeah, it's still not back to normal.
Wow. And how long ago was this? Did this happen?
Like last year, March.
Last year. Okay. So it's been like a year now and yeah. you're still sort of suffering from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nothing painful. Like, so what's the pain after? So let's say you've been on your feet all day. Do you just start to feel pain in that general area?
Yeah. Just like my lower back, like starts to hurt. I'm not that I'm an old person, but like I feel like I'm a 80-year-old with like back problems. That's kind of how it feels. It's just my lower back.
This segment is brought to you by GPS My City. Do you love exploring cities on foot at your own pace? Well, GPS My City's mobile apps, available on iOS and Android, feature self-guided city walks and GPS-powered travel articles written by travel bloggers and travel content creators for over 1,000 cities worldwide. Visit the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, let's break this down.
Okay, so now that we got that out of the way. Okay, so what did you do right? What did you do wrong? And what would you have done differently? So there's a couple of key things that I think that probably would have been at least a little bit better for you. So, for example, data, Wi-Fi, not having that.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, talking about the money part. I'm so glad that you actually did have insurance. So that's at least good. So you could talk about that.
Yeah, never, a little bit. So, never travel without insurance.
No, totally.
Or without insurance, sorry, yeah.
I'm just gonna take your picture and post it places and just be like, this is the reason why you need insurance. Right. No, but I think, let's talk about what, like, let's just have a brain dump about everything, because like, hindsight is 20/20. That's the expression. So what did you learn from all of this? And what did you do right? What did you do wrong? And what could you have done differently? And also, before you get into that, what was it about the way that you landed that car? Did you ever figure that out? Like, what was it about?
No, never.
Because everyone else is jumping off of that. So why did you jump off that and break your back while everyone else is jumping off of that and being okay?
I know, like, I've been asking that question, and, like, a lot of people ask me that question, like, hey, did you land, like, wrong or weird? And it's like, no, I just jumped exactly like you're supposed to on that picture, and people saw me jump, and they were like, there was nothing weird about how I jumped or how I landed. So, like, people were like, oh, but was there maybe, like, a rock, like, at the bottom, you know, like, maybe that you hit that? I was like, I didn't feel anything. It could be, but really, I never figured out why I broke my back and other people didn't.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're landing on something that's soft, right?
Yeah, but still, like, if you fall, that's the same with water. Like, water is not supposed to be hard, but that's why jumping on water is so dangerous, because if you just jump straight on it, it's like a, you know, like a hard surface. So that's why people break their backs from jumping on the water as well. I guess something like that must have happened with me as well. But yeah, the weird thing is just that my, like, I was so worried about that first jump, whereas everyone is worried about the second jump. And so, like, it's kind of weird to say, but, like, I was so scared of that first jump. Like, my gut was telling me, like, this is not okay. And I was like, no, you know, like, you have to try it sometimes. Like, yeah, it's fun. But honestly, like, this time my gut feeling was just, it was so much stronger than it normally is. Because I've been, like, I did bungee jumping as well. And then, of course, then you're also nervous. But that was a different type of, like, gut feeling that, like, told you, like, don't do this. That gut feeling was like, oh, you're crazy, but it's fun. And this, I don't know, I should have listened to my gut feeling that time. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to take that as a quote for this show as well. I should have listened to my gut. That's going to be a quote for this show as well, because I can't even begin to tell you how much times I've heard that. So
It was just so different than all those other times that you're like, oh, is this safe or not? Like, yeah, this was a different type of gut feeling.
No. I totally hear you, because I've gotten like violently sick from eating food, and my gut was telling me, do not eat that because look at where it's coming from and don't eat that. And I'm like, eat it anyways. But my gut was like, you're right. Like the feeling was so strong, like saying, don't do this. Right. But anyways, okay. So what did you learn? I mean, you still do it anyways. Okay. Yeah. So obviously your gut is one of the things. So that's one of the things. So yeah, so sorry, I didn't mean to
jump into that. Okay, yeah.
I had to try to figure out like what was it about the way that you landed, but okay, so you don't know.
I've been wondering about it as well, but I really don't know. So
okay. So fair enough. So what did you do right? What did you do wrong? And what do you feel that you could have done differently?
I'm trying to think. Like now I think like, okay, I should have just never jumped, but yeah, that's easy. And you just want to do the fun stuff. So yeah. Although I'm more careful now with like all this jumping things, and I don't know, just everything that people say, like, oh, you have to try that once, like jumping off a cliff. Like, I know I'm not going to do that anymore now. Also, because I think my back is kind of my weak spot right now, so I shouldn't do it anymore. But yeah, I definitely learned, like, I'm not taking those risks anymore. What I really learned is that even though you're by yourself, like I was all alone, and those two guys that paid for my ambulance, like I had only met them the day before. One of them I had met in Mexico one time before, but really like we barely knew each other. And like there are just so many people offering your help when you're by yourself. And like, like they can also take advantage of you, but like everyone offers their help and like everyone tries their best for you. So I really learned that even though you're traveling by yourself, you're fine. Like people will take care of you. And the same like in the hospital, like people, the doctors offering their data for me to call my parents, stuff like that. So like, everyone really tries their best to help you. So I definitely learned, you know, even if worse things happen, like, You'll be fine if you're by yourself. Let's see. What else? Well, I think now that I'm still, my back still hurts me, I'm like, maybe I should have went home. Like, I shouldn't have stayed. Maybe I should have went home and, like, try to get better in the Netherlands. But at that time, I just knew, like, I'm going to get depressed if I have to, like, stay in the Netherlands, like, stay at home the whole time. So at the time, it felt like the right decision. And now, yeah, I'm not really sure if it, like, for my back, if it was the best decision. So, yeah, sometimes it's better to, you know, to choose for your health or, like, choose the best healthcare instead of, I just didn't want to leave yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know all types of insurance is different. What type of insurance did you have?
So I had a Dutch one. And like every Dutch person I speak to, I'm like, you have to get that insurance. Like they're the best. Because earlier on the same trip, my grandfather passed away. So I flew back to the Netherlands for the funeral, and then they also covered everything for me. Just had to call them, like, okay, hey, this and this happened, and they just booked my flight, everything. Like they take such good care of their customers. And after this happened, or like when my parents called them, they were like, oh, but you can visit her, like we'll cover that as well. And then they were like, I don't know, something that I was by myself, and I was like, oh, if she's alone, like your husband can come with you as well. So my father was allowed to come as well. And like even after it happened, like they stayed in touch with me, like, hey, how are you? Like, are you getting better? Like, yeah, incredible. Like, it's the best health insurance or the best travel insurance I can think of.
And what's the name of that insurance?
It's FBTO.
Cool. And how much is it, like a monthly thing that you're paying for it, or is it just you? Is it an ongoing monthly payment? And
It's like you can have like a travel insurance for like short trips. So I can take it now and then it's for like a week, but this one just goes on like annually. And then you can just choose like different modules, such as the module, like, okay, I'm traveling around the world or just in Europe, or like I'm traveling long-term or short-term. But really, like, I think I only paid like €8 per month. And wow. Yeah.
Wow. So worth it. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. So the only thing is, like, if you're traveling longer than 1 year, you cannot stay with them because they only cover up travel up until 1 year. So you have to be back in the Netherlands in that 1 year if you want to keep that travel insurance. Yeah.
That's fair. So all you need to do is just travel back and then go back out.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fine. But I just like it because it's very rare that that's why I wanted to know the company for any people that are listening to this podcast that are from the Netherlands or that are Dutch.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's very rare that we hear about insurance companies that are like that, to be honest. I'm not even going to lie. I have to give them a plug for that. And with regards to money, is there any, do you have any suggestions around that or anything like that? Cause I mean, I don't know, like, if there's a way to prepare for that or whatever, but I mean, in all honesty, my advice isn't going to be to walk around with 500 euros.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know what to say around that, I guess.
No, cause even like, yeah, I have a credit card, but I just didn't want to take my credit card. So like I had everything with me that I needed. And
but it's not even that though, because they're asking for it in cash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and you couldn't, you can only take out so much money from the machine.
Yeah. I think one thing that I definitely, and I'm glad I did, is like, not giving money without a receipt. So the same with like the ambulance, like those two guys went back with them, then they paid for it and then they got a receipt, which another Dutch person that was at the hostel, who was going back to the Netherlands, he's like, oh, I can take it if you give me her address and I'll send the real bill to her parents. So if the insurance asks for it, she has like the official bill. So like even someone I had never met before, and he was like, oh, I can help out like by just sending this through the post. So yeah. But that's really helpful to get all the official receipts and not like a torn piece of paper that says La Cuenta and then 12,000 euros. Like that, yeah, that's, your insurance is not going to cover it if you have something like that. So I guess still be strict with those kind of things. And for me, like I wrote down all the my health insurance phone numbers, my health of my covering, my travel insurance policy number and stuff like that. So I just had it all in a notebook. So when I was in the hospital, like all I had to say, like, hey, can you give me my notebook? And then I at least like tell my parents, like, this is the number you need to call, and this is my travel or like my policy number. Can you ask them if everything is covered? I mean, maybe if it's like something really serious, like or at least my travel insurance like covers everything, so you don't necessarily have to call. But for me, I was like, I just want to be sure that they cover everything. So I guess that really helped me to just say like, okay, now you can do everything. So just be a little bit organized with like, know the number you need to call and know your policy number. Because if you need to go back into like your phone or into your email to find it, like, yeah, you don't have time for that when it's really necessary. So I think that's one thing that I've always done, and now it finally proved useful.
That's actually a very good idea. I never even thought about that. I mean, I do know that I can access it. I believe that my policy does have an app that I can access, which is good for my phone. But but that's good to keep that information handy, because you never know that when you might need it.
Yeah.
And I also like your idea of making sure that you get the proper receipts. That's very important. Just quickly with your story, when they wrote that down on a piece of paper, did you actually tell them like, yeah, can you write that down on a proper receipt, please? Or
The 12,000 euros, we're like, we're not going to pay that. So yeah, that one didn't matter. But with the ambulance.
So was that sort of like, do you think that was sort of like a scam that they were trying to do, or?
I really don't know what they were trying to do with them.
Okay.
With that one. Right. Yeah. But yeah, that was the weirdest thing, especially because my travel insurance already told me like, hey, we sent them an email saying we will cover everything, so don't pay for anything.
I mean, wow. It's just been like a crazy, incredible story. Thank you so much for sharing this. This is incredible. Where can people find you and your blog and you on social media?
So just bothfeetontheroad.com. And it's the same for my Facebook, my Instagram. It's all Both Feet on the Road.
Awesome. Laura, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And please take care of yourself, because I know that
I will take
you're
that
still,
care.
sort of getting better. No jumping off of cliffs or planes or boats or whatever the hell. Just take care of yourself. And I wish you, I hope that you get better, because I know that you're still even dealing with it now. So I hope that down the road that it'll eventually just go away and you could go back to being 100% you. But in the meantime, take care of yourself, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, case closed. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that you can listen to this show over at www.travelhorrorstoriespodcast.com. And if you're listening on your mobile device, please take a second to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It really helps the show and episodes get discovered by more people. Plus, your feedback will help me tweak and change the show to make it the best show on the internet. Yes. Cheers.